lift your voice and just begin to say, God, we love you. We thank you. Come on, all over the house. Just tell them, I praise your name, Lord Jesus. Come on. Come on. Push past it. You're all I want. You're all I want. Yes, Lord. Come on. Pushes out of the way all the minutiae of life, the issues that so easily entangle us. Lord, your Holy Spirit brings peace where the floods are raging. Lord, your Holy Spirit heals sickness and brokenheartedness. Your Holy Spirit brings hope for tomorrow. Your Holy Spirit brings life to us. Where we've been disappointed, God, you bring us that confidence. When we have felt let down or abandoned, you never leave us nor forsake us. We praise your name, Jesus. Come on, just open your mouth one more time. Just begin to say, I praise you, Lord. I praise you. Those that are in the back, come on. I praise you, Lord. In the sound booth, lift up your hand to him tonight. Let the power of his Holy Spirit bring help and healing and life to you. Those that are watching online tonight, you can do that right where you're at. Just lift up a hand to heaven. Just begin to say, Lord, I thank you. I love you. I honor you tonight. Come on. Come on, all the musicians, worship him for just a minute on those instruments. Come on, church, lift up your voice. Just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Yeah, come on. Praise your name, Lord. You're more than enough. Yeah. Worship your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Come on, church, don't stop right there. Come on. All I want. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're grateful for who you are tonight. You are our burden bearer. We just want to say thank you. Praise you. We exalt you tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. I want to say something just before everybody is seated. How many of you know it's Pastor Aaron's birthday tonight? She's going to be sharing God's word in just a few moments. But the best, where are you? Where'd she go? Can't be floating off like that when I'm talking about you. The best birthday present for you tonight is what God is doing in him right now. Because I'm sure many of you wondered, what did he say to him? I said, sing it like you're feeling it inside right now. As the Spirit of the Lord is moving on him. And on your birthday, God did that in particular for you tonight. Am I saying that right? Thank you, Lord. Sing it one more time. Sing that chorus one more time. Come on, worship him. Just one more
minute. Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart found.
When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Lord, fill every heart, I pray tonight. And for that, we thank you and we praise you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said a big amen. Come on, give God another praise in his house tonight. Before you're seated, just go to somebody and say, it's so good to see you tonight. What a beautiful night to be in God's house. And we, listen, our small groups are life changing. They really are. I heard Pastor Tim DeLena, who has just become so important to me, he said these words. He said, Jesus saved my soul, but the church and the small groups saved my life. Are you listening to me? Come on. Jesus saved my soul, but the church and small groups saved my life. And we were at a men's meeting last night at the barn, and Pastor Chuck Vendetti just did an amazing job leading that. And we've had this happen a few times in those meetings where we come to this place on forgiveness. And I'm just always amazed at that. And I just, the more I thought about it and I ponder on it, the more I realize how many people are burdened down in their life, holding grudges, mad at people. Just call it whatever you want. An individual even said last night, who's been in the church a long time, and this isn't critical, this is something that I believe God wants to help us with. He said, are you trying to tell me that if somebody hurts me over and over again, I'm just supposed to forgive them? This is foundational, fundamental truth in the scripture. It's not easy, and if it's easy for you, you've probably never been assaulted or hurt or had something or someone come against you. It's not easy, but it's the right thing to do. And I just want to encourage you with that, because when you hold animosity and unforgiveness in your life, it's poison to who you are. I loved last week Dr. David Vickers, when he was praying for people, the first thing he said to them, do you need to forgive anybody? And this is so important in our lives. I want to help you to do that, because when you do that, your life changes. You need to move in that direction. When you do that, your life, you become kinder as well. I've met some people that have been saved for 40 years, and they look like they've been baptized in vinegar. They are just mean and miserable all the time, critical, judgmental, always looking to see the worst in somebody. But when God does the real work in your life, you'll have a kind heart. Kindness will make you happier. Kindness is good for your heart and your life. Kindness will slow you getting older faster. Everybody's getting older, but when you're kind and when you live a kind and a forgiving life, it slows that process down. And, you know, like when Erin comes up to, she's like 66, 67. I'm joking. I am joking. That's just a joke. But kindness will make you look better longer, and it'll improve your relationships. And we need that. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you tonight. If you're holding something again, I just want to sow the seed in you. I don't even know what she's going to talk about tonight, but I want to sow that seed into you tonight. If you're holding on to something, ask God to help you to let that go. Ask Him to help you to let it go. Come on, are you with me tonight? Amen me if you're listening tonight. I want to pray for you before we do that. I want to pray for you that you will let it go. And like I said to the men last night, we don't have to ask you. Everyone knows that person, their face, their name just came right before you. Maybe you're upset at your spouse. Let it go. Let's pray over that right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for clear, clean hearts. Lord, give us the strength to forgive, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you know how to give? Let's give to the Lord. Sow into the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two white boxes are on the back there if you want to put something in there. On the way out, you can text to give. You can go online to give. Download the PushPay app. Multiple ways to give. How many of you love Pastor Erin Martin? This morning, she is definitely a Proverbs 31 woman. And she's a tough girl, too. I counted this morning. She did, how much was that weight that you were using? She did 25 pounds, and the exercise was called a devil press. And I'm telling you, they are from hell. And she did 55 of them down on the ground, back up overhead, plus she ran 2,000 meters. How much is that, Brad? A little over a mile. And here she is tonight. She's an incredible pastor, an incredible wife, an incredible mom, an incredible daughter. We love her. Come on, stand up on your feet. Honor Pastor Erin Martin as she comes tonight. Come on, give her a big God bless you.
So if you see me walking a little funny, that's why. And if I'm 66 years old, Pastor, what does that make you? I am 45 years young. I am not afraid to share that. It's funny because I get a lot of people ask me, you know, what are you doing on your birthday? What are you doing on your birthday? And I'm preaching at the city church, and I got a lot of like, okay, and I got a lot of like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And honestly, I can't think of a better way to spend my birthday, honoring the God I serve and people that I love and people that have to love me even if you don't like me. So we're going to have a great birthday tonight. So honestly, I just hope that this encourages you and blesses your heart and blesses your soul, and you just walk out just feeling like God is on your side. My prayer lately has been this. In fact, I wrote this in my journal last week. We were in the mountains in the Adirondacks, and I always bring a journal with me, and these are the words that I wrote. I usually write my prayers out. I wrote, help me to trust you. Help me to believe you. Help me to obey you. Help me to have confidence in you. Help me to be brave for you. Help my faith to grow in you. And then I wrote these words, help me to be battle and blessing ready. And I wrote those words not even just praying out of my heart, right? And then I reread what I wrote, and I'm like, Huh, I've never said those words in the same sentence before. Help me to be battle and blessing ready. So I began to just ask God, what is this about? And so tonight we are going to talk about battles and blessings. Battles and blessings. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are a good God. God, that you are a God that never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We continually lift your name up. We magnify you tonight, and we thank you for your grace. Use your servant tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Battles and blessings. There's many battles that we face in life, but there's also many blessings that we have too. However, if we're not careful, we can be consumed in the battle and totally miss the blessings, battles and blessings. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." John 16:33 says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." And in James 1:2-4, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So after reading these verses, we can see that Jesus, as we know, didn't promise a carefree, battle-free, skipping down the lane walk here on earth. He did, however, promise that he will be with us. He did tell us to have peace. He did remind us to have joy in the midst of the battle, and he reminds us that he has overcome the world. But these are not natural feelings in a battle, right? I mean, when I'm in a battle, I usually feel fear, frustration, doubt, anger, weakness, all the other emotions and feelings that God is not. But the reason we can find joy and peace and encouragement is because God has already given us what we need to overcome the battle that's ahead. The phrase, "you win some, you lose some," that's not even in God's vocabulary, is it? Because he's already won the battle. He's already, that song we sing, "Never Lost a Battle," the song we sang tonight, "Do What You're Famous For," God, he's famous for winning the battles. In Romans 8:31, it says, "What shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" In 2 Chronicles 20:15, we are reminded, "For the battle is not yours, but it's God's." So how can we walk through these battles with faith and peace and the joy that we need? Well, as I was praying, like I said, in the mountains, doing my thing, running, I was reminded last week of David and Goliath. And then Sunday, Pastor Ryan starts talking about David. I was like, no. But it's a different story, so we're all good in the hood. So we all know the story of David and Goliath, right? But just to give a quick summary, so we can all be on the same page, we find this encounter in 1 Samuel 17. And here we have a war raging between the Philistines and the Israelites. Saul was the king, and the Philistines had their army, and the Israelites had theirs. They were each set up on a hill, each side with a valley in between. And for 40 days, Goliath came out and taunted the Israelites. Goliath, being over 9 feet tall, of bronze armor, his bronze coat alone was 125 pounds, and his iron spearhead tip weighed 15 pounds. Now, Brad wears a weighted vest sometimes when we work out. This was like ancient day Thor, though, okay? And so every day when Goliath did this, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:11, it says, "When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Every time Goliath came out, one man, one giant, against thousands of Israelites," right? They were scared. And so that's where David comes in. His dad, Jesse, sends him with some food, basically a care package of bread and grains and cheese, and he's like, "Go see your brothers, see how they are, and let me know." So David arrives at the scene and does what his dad asks him. And then he, as he's talking to his brothers, he hears Goliath's threat. And I just imagine this young kid hearing Goliath and looking at his brothers, looking at the army. What's going on? Anybody going to do anything about this, you know? And so David starts asking questions, as a normal teenage boy would do. He just asks questions. And so his questions get brought before Saul. And so he gets brought before Saul, right? And again, I'm just summarizing the story. And so he's before Saul, and David says to him, "Don't worry about the Philistines. I'll go fight him. I'll go fight Goliath." David is confident. He's like, "I'm going to do this." And Saul's like, "You're just a kid. You can't do this." And David says, "No, I've killed bears. I've killed lions. I protect my sheep. And I can do the same thing to this giant. He's defied the armies of the living God. Are you not hearing him? We need to do something about this guy. And the God that helped me kill the lions and the bears, he's going to help me kill this Goliath, this giant." So Saul says, "All right, go ahead." So he puts his armor on David, right? And it doesn't fit. David is like, "No, I'm going to do this the way God wants me to, not the way you want me to. God's got this. God's got me." So he goes out. He slingshots him right between the eyeballs. Goliath falls. The crowd cheers. David cuts off his head. The Philistines run. The Israelites win. And David goes on to become the greatest king ever in Israel and being known for a man after God's own heart. So now that we're all on the same page, what does this encounter have to do with what God is showing us? Back to the question. How can we walk through these battles with faith, peace, and joy? The first thing is we have to be prepared. You see, David was ready. David was preparing for this moment every day by taking care of his sheep. A shepherd was considered one of the lowliest of jobs, right? But it was his training ground. Every day he learned humility. Every day he perfected his skills with a slingshot. Every day he took care of his sheep. Every day he worshiped and praised God. Every day. And maybe at times the ins and outs and the ups and downs of every day doesn't seem significant to you. Every day. Ask a stay-at-home mom who doesn't think that what she does matters until those babies grow up and begin to use the skills that she taught them. Ask an entry-level worker who doesn't think that making copies and taking notes and going on coffee runs makes any difference until one day they're actually doing a presentation for the job that they've always wanted. It's every day. It's when we do the little things, right, that gets us prepared for the bigger things. Someone once said, "Don't worry if your job is small and your rewards are few. Remember, the mighty oak was once a nut like you." Okay. And Zechariah, in the Bible though, says, "Do not despise small things. Don't despise the everyday. What seems insignificant to you in the everyday can mean something so much bigger." That's why every day we pray. Every day we read the word. Every day we worship. Every day we have a God-first mindset. Every day we get closer to Jesus. You see, every day he tended the sheep, doing what he knew to do. And then one day, his everyday tendencies turned into the day that it came into practice for the battle that was in front of him. It's the everyday things that we do that will prepare us for the one day that that battle is in front of us. And we have many battles, but it's what we do every day that will get us prepared for the one day. The second thing is we have to gear up. I love this one. I could probably preach a whole, like, I love this message and all that. Like, I love the thought of this. In every sport, there is a certain gear that you need to be ready for that game or that stage, right? I'm a dancer. So in football, you need a helmet. You need the pads. In soccer, you need the shin guards. Otherwise, your shins are going to be all beat up. In dance, you need the proper shoes and your hair pulled back and the leotards and the tights. In track, you need the right cleats to do what you need to do, etc. Well, in life, we have to make sure that we have the right gear on, too. In Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17, it says, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have to make sure that we're putting the armor of God on every day, because we have to make sure our mind is right. We have to know the truth. We have to have peace. We have to guard our hearts. We have to hold up the shield. We have to take up the sword. And we have to know every day that we are fully geared up. The other day I was, you know, driving down the street and something, I was thinking about something. I was like, oh, nope, put the helmet of salvation on. Breastplate of righteousness. I got to guard my heart right now. And sometimes you might have to do that. Like put, you know, you might have to like physically like start touching parts of your body that you know you need help with. Put like, your pastor does this. But for real, we have to make sure that we are geared up. You see, David was prepared for battle because he had the armor of God on him already. He knew who he was in God. He was confident in the fact that God was with him. He knew the truth. He had peace. He knew the word of God. And when Saul tried to put on his armor on David, David was like, no, this ain't going to work. This is not, I have God on my side. I'm already geared up with what I need. Yours doesn't fit me. I don't need what you think I need. I need who God says I am, and I already have the armor on. I have what I need to fight the battle in front of me. In 1 Samuel 17:40, it says he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into the shepherd's bag, his shepherd's bag, and then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Could you imagine seeing this young kid, and that's all he has on against Goliath, who has all the armor on? But David knew he had everything that he needed. Are you geared up? Do you put the armor of God on every day before you leave the house or in your car? Gear up. The third thing is game on. Game on. When you say game on, you mean that you are ready for something challenging to begin. I love how David was at camp for less than 24 hours, and he was ready to go. Everyone else was there 40 days, 40 nights, scared. David gets there and was like, what are you waiting for? Why are we so scared of this giant? And he walked out there with his shoulders back and his chest held high, and he began to tell the giant what was going to happen to him. You see, this is all I could think of because I have a teenage boy in my house. Granted, he's getting up there, but he's still a teenage boy. And all I can think of is David doing this right here.
Let's go! Let's go!
So this is what, right? You have any teenage boys? This is what they do when they get excited. They're, let's go! I must have heard that 1,000 times in my house. But I'm like, this is what, David was a teenage boy, right? We need to look at the giant sometimes that we're facing and say, you are going down. Today, God is going to win. You don't have master over me. You aren't going to win this time. God is on my side. He is with me. Let's go! And that's exactly what David did. It says in 17 verses 45 through 49, it says, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I'll cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. This is just crazy. And the whole world will know that there is a God of Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with a sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Let's go. Some of us are fighting battles that we try to run and hide for 40 days and 40 nights, and there the battle's right there, and you know what you need to do. Game on. Start telling your battle, you're not going to win this time. I have God on my side. this isn't going to happen. This is not how it's going down. He knew what he needed to do to win. He didn't shy away from it. He didn't run from it. I've run from battles before. I get it. I know the battle in front of me, and I'm like, no, not today. I'm not going to. I don't even want to deal with that today. But David faced it so he could move on. David faced it so the whole army could move on. What do we need to face today? What giant in your life do you need to speak over today? Do it. Say, game on. You have what you need to win. You're geared up. You have what you need to win. You have joy. You have to take it. You have peace. You have to take it. There's hard moments in life. We all face them. We all have hard moments. I'm not diminishing that. But we have God on our side. God doesn't lose. And that's who's on our side. Number four, victory in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. I can't help but think of that old song, sang in a country gospel slang, of course. Victory in Jesus. That's how I hear it. Sorry. I know. It's classic. I'm not, you know, it's a good song. It's a good hymn. That's just what goes on my head. This is a short point, but worth mentioning. When we want victory in our life, we have to know where victory is found. We have to know where victory is found. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. In that scripture, as I was doing some research, there's four things in this verse that will encourage you. And this isn't mine. This is from Pastor Jim Feeney, but they're worth mentioning. He says, victory in Jesus is yours. God has no intention of allowing you to lose the battles in life. He says, number two, this victory in Christ is something that God gives us. We don't have to earn it. Like salvation, victory is free. It's a free gift of God's grace. Number three, as is true of so many of the things of God, victory is given us by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since Jesus is Lord of all, he can and will triumph over all situations. And number four, ongoing victory in Christ in this fallen, hostile world is something for which to give thanks to God for. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's recognize and boldly proclaim that there is victory in Jesus. When we want victory in our life, we have to know where victory can be found. And lastly, blessings on blessings. I say it, blessings on blessings. And yes, there is another song. There's always a song with me, I promise you. But this one's by Anthony Brown. It's like a soulful gospel. And he's like, every time I turn around, it's blessings on blessings, blessings on blessings. And I just love that song. I'll post it later. But I love that thought. Blessings on blessings. Yes, life is full of battles and blessings. Battles and blessings. But every battle we face, there is a blessing that comes with it. And we have to be ready for the blessing. We have to allow God to open doors for the blessing. It was interesting today, someone actually literally said that to me, and I just kind of looked at them because they said, God's going to use you tonight. God's going to bless you. He'll come through, but allow God to bless you. And I was like, yeah, that's in my notes. Thanks for the reminder. But we have to allow the blessings in our life. We have to stop focusing on the battle after we've won it and start looking at the blessings. Yes, we have to be ready for battle. Just preached about that. But we have to recognize that whenever there is a battle, there's also a blessing. Esther was in a battle, and she received a blessing of not having her people killed and becoming queen and having great influence. That's a blessing. Joseph was in a battle, and he received a blessing of being over the land and helping others and being able to forgive his brothers and his family. And David not only received a blessing from killing Goliath, there was an actual reward for that. In 1 Samuel 17:25, it says, the king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. So there was his blessing. But David was in many battles after that. He was in many battles to follow that, and he became, like I said earlier, the greatest king Israel has ever had, and is known to this day as a man after God's own heart. That's God's blessing. That's God's favor in his life. As I began to reflect on some battles that I have faced, I asked God to re-show me some blessings that instead of the battles. And these are just a few I wrote down. Before Malachi, when I had my first miscarriage, the blessing was realizing that my husband would walk with me through anything. That's a blessing. A few years ago, I had an allergic reaction. We were in the mountains, and I mean, my face was like swollen, and I had hives everywhere, and so we had to go to the urgent care in the mountains. And funny story happened there. If you want to know, I'll tell you, not from the pulpit, but it's funny. Now it's funny. It wasn't funny then. But the blessing was realizing that I had found a group of friends that would do anything they could to help me. That was a blessing. When battles we have faced, Ben and I, financially, God would and still comes through with a blessing of some kind. And I don't know if I've ever told you this story, Patty, but you hear Patty and Pastor Ryan talk about Grandpa Andy. And we were just married. We didn't have no money to even buy toilet paper. Like, Ben was ready to come down to the church and steal toilet paper from the church, okay? Like, we didn't have any toilet paper. I was like, I don't know what to do. And Andy gave Ben a Pentecostal handshake. If you don't know what that is, it's where you shake your hand and you have money in your hand. And Ben comes around the corner and he says, look, it was $100. We were struggling. We had a battle. And in that moment, there was a blessing. We could buy toilet paper. Battles and blessings. Don't miss the blessing in the midst of a battle, because they're there. God wants to bless his children. He wants to bless his children. He doesn't want to withhold the blessings from you. If the Bible says if a human father wants to give blessings out to his children, how much more does our heavenly father want to bless us? In Ephesians 1:3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. God blesses us because he's good. He doesn't withhold those blessings. He's a good God. He does exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. Salvation is a blessing. God's grace is a blessing. His peace is a blessing. His protection is a blessing. His love is a blessing. Maybe we're going about looking at blessings the wrong way, because there's a blessing in every battle. We just have to allow God to work that into our lives, and we have to be open to the blessing that he wants to bestow on us. Be ready for the blessing of God, and don't just allow God to bless you, but be looking for the blessing over your life. Life is full of battles and blessings. Don't miss the blessing in the midst of the battle. So how can we be ready? Be prepared. Gear up. Some of us need to say, game on, let's go. Remember that the victory is his. And always look for the blessings in life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Let's stand, if you will. I know I'm not amiss to know or believe that some of us aren't facing a battle right now. And there are battles that we face every day. And we just pray. Let's just close our eyes. We pray right now for whoever's facing a battle, for whoever's watching even right now online, whoever's facing that battle, that they're able to face that, that they know that God is on their side, that God doesn't lose the battles, that the victory is his. Help us to know where victory is found. And God, that's in you. And God, we thank you today for the blessings. Help us to find the blessing in the midst of the battle. We pray protection over your people today. We pray peace and we pray joy and we pray encouragement over every single person today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Come down here. Honey, come stand next to Aaron. If you're in a battle and you can't see the blessing, come here right now. Come quick. If you're watching at home tonight, you're in a battle, Lord, I pray for my brother, my sister, whoever it is that is going through a storm, a battle tonight, God would strengthen and help you in the name of Jesus. I love you at home tonight. We do life together. Hope to see you soon. God bless each and every one. You're in a battle. Come quickly.